Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And good evening. Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you joined us this May 23rd, 2017 at 7 o'clock hour. We're back at our 7 o'clock spot after being at a 10:30 a.m. spot for a minute. From time to time, depending on where we are and how we're traveling, we may fluctuate between different times and time zones. But we're grateful you're back with us tonight. To all of our Facebook friends, you know the number to call us is here. Call us here is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. And for our new listeners, we want you to know that we welcome your call and your input in the show, and we hope that you bring some questions or comments that is relevant and useful. This is a learning experience, educational lecture series. We're grateful tonight for our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, who we'll hear from, and our special guest tonight, Mr. Don G. Bevel Ale, the eldest son of our posthumous guest, Dr. James Luther Bevel, Sr. Tonight we're talking about the civil rights movement, and we aim to have a conversation with one of his beloved sons. Early in our series on the American electoral process, we discussed Frederick Douglass, who is the father of African-American civil rights movement. There are some who think that the civil rights struggle began in 1959 with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. While it did not start there formally, there was a faithful son of that era who carried out the tenets of the movement itself. And tonight, that's what we're going to hear from him and have a conversation with him. Again, the topic is the civil rights movement. We'll begin our monologue here. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Most people understandably think, as mentioned previously, that the civil rights, and they think of it from the lens of the activities that transpired during the 50s and the 60s. However, in reality, civil rights began with the 13th Amendment of 1863. Formally, it outlawed slavery in America. Following that, in 1868, the 14th Amendment, which guaranteed rights of citizenship for those former slaves. And finally, the 1870 15th Amendment, which allowed Negroes to vote and participate in the electoral process throughout America. A central influence in the push for all three of the previously mentioned constitutional amendments was the father of Negro civil rights, Frederick Augustus Douglass. His influence is well described in the work of author Philip Fauner in his body of work entitled Five Volumes, The Life and Writings of Frederick Douglass. Beyond Douglass were many more efforts and individuals to advance the cause of civil rights in America. During this episode, we will engage one of the sons of the struggle, often referred to as the architect of the civil rights movement. Yes, I'm speaking of the late Reverend Dr. James Luther Bevel, Sr. Dr. Bevel was a major strategist for the civil rights movement and served as the director of direct action and director of nonviolent education for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was responsible for initiating, strategizing, directing, and developing many of the organization's main achievements. Because of his genius, during this era, he is dubbed both strategist and architect of the civil rights movement and the father of voting rights. Other major efforts of his include being one of Dr. King's closest advisors. I had the privilege of being with him from 2003 to about 2005 under his tutelage, and I gained a great deal of knowledge from him about many of the things that he used and his strategies to help the civil rights movement. And found that he and Dr. King were very, very much very close. And we'll hear from his son, who have a firsthand account of that as well. He served in the United States Navy as a reservist. He's a distinguished alumni of American Baptist Theological Seminary in Nashville, Tennessee, recipient of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference Rosa Parks Award in 1965. He was noted for organizing the movement in Selma, the Nashville Student Movement, and SNCC, Students for Nonviolence Council Conference. He organized the Chicago Open House. In 1984, he was a candidate for the United States Congress. And we'll hear from his son again, who helped or participated in that process, and he will give us a pretty good insight on that. Before his death on December 19, 2008, God saw fit to bring a light home. He introduced a program that was known as SEED, Students for Education and Economic Development, and was a co-collaborator of the 1995 Day of Atonement, or Million Man March, as it's commonly known, held at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Tonight, again, you will hear from the man himself as we hold a virtual interview and we ask him some questions. I'll share with you questions that I had the privilege of asking him and have him answer for me during the time that I was blessed to have met him and engaged him. But now let me bring in our special guest tonight. And before I do that, Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, thank you. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
All right, very our good. Esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Steel High and pastor in Nashville, Tennessee. And now I'm honored to bring our guest in. Brother Don Bevelel, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. How y'all doing?
Doing good, bro.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brother Bevelel. I know that you are a member of the Moore Science Temple of America. And explain to us that we're talking really, Brother Bevel, to a certain population of disinfected individuals as evidenced by their lack of participation in the electoral process in the last few elections. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I basically was in the United States Navy. And while I was in the Navy, I kind of ran into an encounter, and I had like a dream for my dad's mother. And when I got to my dad, the same encounter that I was fighting in the Navy, he explained to me that's what happened in Dr. King's assassination. And I started studying that, you know what I'm saying, and listened to him about that. And I think that's what got me through even to today. I probably would have got caught with other young African-American males if I hadn't known those spiritual inward principles. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and had a profound effect on you, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Had a real profound effect on me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It helps you to look at how people get involved in the flesh over against, you know, looking at the spiritual side of man.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, gentlemen, what I'd like to do is to, for the next 20 minutes or so, begin our interview with Dr. Bevel. Of course, we know that he's on the other side now, but we have his words, which are also powerful, and there is a lesson to be learned from those words, and I hope that those that listen to this show after its recording will gain something from it. And that's really what our purpose is. Let me begin by asking Dr. Bevel, how would you characterize the disinfected since the civil rights movement and all that it had to offer?
And all of us look around and we see drug addiction and we see the nation facing with a nuclear winter and we see droughts and we see violence and hate and we see poverty and all kinds of disorders and we see the dread disease AIDS and many other diseases that are taking folks' lives and we see an anemic, inspired people, and we see violent and destructive young people, and we see drifting and unspiritual filled churches, and we see an education system that's turning out youth that cannot read and write, and we see an economy that is on the decline, and we have an ecology that is being polluted, and waters and atmosphere being destroyed, and we see our topsoil being run off of our land into the sea.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call. We'd love to entertain your questions and comments. Don, everything he said, man, is going on right now in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You want to comment on that a little bit?
Man, it's real deep, Mr. Dockery. I look back when I first got with my dad. I got to Cleveland. He was working with a school teacher by the name of Margaret Mitchell, and they was working on the school strike. And at the time, I got with him at that time, you know, and he was introducing himself, which I knew my father, but I didn't know his real involvement in the movement and his whole, strategy and tactics behind Dr. King. I didn't know none of that until I got to Cleveland. I was out of the Navy and then getting with him and doing some projects, especially organopharms, it really just expanded my mind. And you know what I'm saying? It just, cause I was from Tennessee, raised on a tobacco farm. And, you know, you go to with a guy to do organic food farming, it takes you to a whole different, another reality. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Don, you and I were together. We saw some of down there in Selma, or this little town outside of Selma. We saw some of the crops and the vegetables that are raised. I mean, huge. This not in this little small stuff you see in the marketplace. This was a huge vegetable that were grown by organic through an organic process. It was amazing when you sit and listen and learn how that works. Quite an instructional process. Pastor Waller, what do you think about Dr. Bevel's comment relative to the issues and the plight of things?
You know what? I think it gives me an opportunity to open up and to be ready for something that I didn't know anything about. And I know that you said, you know, he's crossed over, but his words still remain, meaning that they're still effective. And so it gave me a chance, as I heard his son just say, that he didn't know him. And it hit me real hard when he said that about he didn't know him until. See, the part that I like about that means he got to know him. You see? And so now that I'm just ready to embrace an encouraging word from him that's been passed down, I think it's relevant for today.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd be a witness to say that, man, I just didn't know a lot of things. I was too busy being bent over in a feeble position because of my lack of. And I noticed that you said the scripture says, if my people. And I wondered, I said, well, who did it belong to at that time? You know, and it's amazing, man. If my people would humble themselves.
If my people. You know, that's interesting. Yeah, he made it personal, didn't he? He made it personal, didn't he? He didn't say them people. No, he didn't say them people. Or some people. He said, if my people.
Yeah, that's what got me right there. You know, it's my people. And it made me wonder, was I here at that time, you know, would humble himself and pray, you know, seek my face, things like that. You know, and so those powerful words. So I'm just here to just listen in and to embrace that what I'm getting ready to get a chance to hear, man. Amazing. And thank you, son, for being here on the panel tonight.
Will. Absolutely. Well, let me ask Dr. Bevel another question here. Dr. Bevel, given the challenges we face in this present day, how should we approach the problem of ignorance and apathy that is prevalent in communities? Let's see what Dr. Bevel has to say about that.
Well, you cannot solve a problem if you do not understand the nature and the cause of the problem. In order to solve any problem, you have to do an analysis of the problem, and you got to go back to the genesis and the cause of that problem. And so we have to go all the way back to the beginning to understand what is wrong. Because I don't care what you believe, and I don't care what your opinion is, if you do not know the truth of what to do, and if you do not know the truth of what caused an error so that you are not doing what you are supposed to do, no matter what you believe, you can never come to do it.
A true statement. Now, gentlemen, Don, you know this. People get caught up all the time in passing the buck and making excuses for not acting on the information they have. Your problem won't be solved if you don't be busy about taking care of your business. Is that right, Don?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, chime in here, Pastor Walker. What were you about to say something else, Don?
Well, you know, today's society, that's what it teaches us, just to constantly pass the buck. You know what I'm saying? That's from the leadership, from the national to the local. That's what we've been taught or programmed to pass the buck.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. We've had a series going all throughout the month of May on the electoral process. And what we have been discovering and sharing with our listening audience is that there is a either intended or unintended consequence of being apathetic toward what's going on. It ain't my problem. I don't care. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm going to just do what I want to and make myself happy. Well, when you live in a community with other people, you're going to have to interact with them. And one of the reasons we are so volatile toward one another is because of ignorance and apathy, the lack of wanting to know the truth. What do you think about that, Pastor Walker?
Yeah, you said it right there. You know, the lack of not wanting to know the truth. And sometimes it is knowingly as well as unknowingly. You know, one gets involved in the things that's going on. You know, I think I was speaking about that last time we was talking, the subject. And, you know, there are people that are have innocent ears and innocent eyes, man, that got captured. So they wasn't able to be able to tune in, even if they wanted to. You know how it's something about, you know, I want to do right, but what have a hold on me won't allow me to. You know, I want to listen, to the truth, but I just can't get from it. You know, it has to do with the trap, man. I mean, and so this type of information that we are getting ready to continue to receive tonight is the power of getting us free from it, you know, and that's where you start to apply things. You know, I like Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, when it states, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, this is a learning opportunity for me, myself. And I'm just grateful. I received so much already. I can only imagine the continuation of what's getting ready to take place, man. And I just trust the ones who tune in will be able to gather information like this as well. It's phenomenal, man. I just thank you for what you get, for what you're doing right now, Pastor Dockery. I really do, man.
Praise God.
Powerful.
Praise God. I hope somebody can learn from it, man.
Yes, sir.
Hope somebody can grow from it. We're going to go. The number is 657-383-0944. If you're listening, please give us a call here. We'll be happy to entertain your comments and or your questions and your contribution to the conversation. This is all of our conversation. All of us need to be engaged in it. But at this moment, we're going to take a brief break. And on the other side of this break, we're going to come back. And there are a couple of other questions that I would like to ask or that we pose to Reverend Bevel. And I think the answers will be very instructive and useful for all of us as we listen in. And we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Thank you.
Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're on tonight with the eldest son of our posthumous guest, Dr. Luther Bevel, James Luther Bevel, in the person of Don G. Bevel, L., as well as our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of Still High. You can go to our webpage and get a copy of that book, Still High, as well as our other lecture materials at www.bfcinstitute.com. Please go there, learn about us. Join us right now, live in this conversation, by calling 657-3-0944. Don?
Mm-hmm.
Don, I don't care what happened, my brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to keep on pushing. What about you?
I feel the same way, Mr. Dockery. As I see the present date and the present generation, as I sit mm-hmm. with them, especially the younger ones, they're starving for information. They're starving for attention. And
right.
I think that we as elders don't give our younger generation enough attention, and we don't mm-hmm. share enough educational information with them
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
one-on-one personal talk with them. That's what I'm expecting.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, that's right on the money there, man. And I've been saying, Mr. Bevel, that's one of the reasons why so many of them are so careless and so angry, so explosive. You know, you can't even hold a conversation with them without them being guarded and ready to defend a fight, you know. Just what you're mm-hmm. saying, they lack the knowledge, they lack the love, they lack the guidance, and it's a shame that men like your dad and others made the sacrifices they did, but our babies suffer like they do. It's an utter shame.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to do something. Let me pose this question to, or share a question that I posed with Reverend Bevel during the time I had the opportunity to study with him. When should concerned people act to change social circumstances that keep them suppressed in society? Let's see what he says.
Proceed, interpret, and conduct yourself correctly in the now. Because God calls us to act correctly, not after we die and go to heaven, but in the now. We must be righteous in the now. Not tomorrow, in the now. We must be able to do the right thing the right way for the right reason and get the right result. In the now. Too many of us want to live as slaves and have dreams about Jesus and then die and go join him. Too many of us want to talk about what we're going to do after we get to heaven, but we are not doing what God put us on earth to do now.
Wow. Wow. Pastor Waller.
I can see it. That's all I can see. Talk, brother. Goodness.
Don, that's what Pastor Waller and I have been talking about for some time right here in that. Everybody say they want to go to heaven, but they're afraid to make a sacrifice like Christ.
Mm.
What about that, Brother Bevel? What about that, Brother Bevel?
Ooh, I think it is. When you have an issue that you have to give your life for, that is kind of, you know, that's thinking outside the box. You know what I'm saying? Just think about when Dr. King, you know, I go back over this point my father was telling me about. When they went to the United Nations building, they was offered $5 million not to speak out against the Vietnam War. Well, Andy Young, you know, got this meeting set up at the Ford Foundation. And I listened to my father when he said they slapped the money in front of him. And Dr. King looked at the money and looked at him and walked out. So you see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what I loved about Dr. King. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, that's what I loved about Dr. King. You know, he died for a cause that was just for all people, you know. No war, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and today I see people put Obama on a T-shirt with Dr. King, and it's like, no, Obama was a statesman, you know what I'm saying? And Dr. King was a, you know what I'm saying, he was a prophet, you know what I'm saying, a man that believed in, you know what I'm saying, you know, he was a man of practicing the Sermon on the Mount. He was practicing the gospel of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So you can't put a statesman in that seat.
So, no, you're not trying to sneak a preacher in on me, are you?
No, sir. No, sir. But that's the way
but
I see that.
But that'll preach right there, man. That'll preach. You know,
no, I just
Pastor Wallace.
People deserve. Yeah.
Go ahead.
People deserve truth, man, and that's what he's putting down. And so, I mean, after all, it's what the Bible talks about. You know, John 8:32 saying, "You shall know the truth." And the truth
will
make
do
you
what?
Free. It'll make you free. So the only way I was able to get from the slave mentality that I was up under. And so I like what you're saying, brother, because that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, you said to me tonight, I heard you say to me that money don't make everything all right. Don't always make everything all right. That's what I hear. You know, you say slap the money down before you. And they just the way, you know, so that tells me right there that they couldn't be bought, you know, according to what they were dealing with concerning the truth, man, and they knew that they were fighting for a cause, and I like that what you shared, brother Don, man, I tell you, brother, you're bringing something to the table tonight that is valuable and is very needed, and so I want to thank you, man, for being just as humble as I'm sure that your father had to be to demonstrate and to speak with the authority that he's speaking with. I'm just grateful to be sitting in on it. Man, just keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Yeah. Don, you're there in Selma. Tell us what the condition is some 50 years later, more than 50 years later. What's the condition in Selma?
It's really kind of shocking. You know, your professor, Mr. Revis Mitchell, I went to Fisk one day and asked him, went to him one day and told him, I said, well, my dad got the right to vote idea from Frederick Douglass. And Mr. Mitchell told me, Dr. Mitchell there at Fisk told me, said, leave out of my office, go out there in front of the men's dorm and read the plaque on Samuel McAwee. And so when I get to Selma and I'm studying, you know, my father's movement and the strategy and the tactics, and the political process going back to Reconstruction, I run into Benjamin Turner here. And when I get to researching, they talked about his congressional district went from Dallas County to Mobile. It's like, whoa.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and then that's when I looked at Dallas County one time was hooked up to the port, Mobile, you know what I'm saying, which is a strong economic power base. And for an African-American man at that day and time to be a congressman, that was hooked up to a port. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That was awesome.
Right.
And he didn't last but 2 years, and they got him up out of there, man. Because I think at that period of time, that was too much power.
Let me explain who Benjamin Turner was. As he said, he was a statesman from Alabama, and this was after 1870, when Negroes got the right to vote, Frederick Douglass formed the Liberty Party, which was a part of the Republican Party, and they got seven African-American, or Negroes that they were called aptly, Negro men to be representing the United States Congress, the 41st and the 42nd Congress. And as Don said, they didn't stay there a long time, and you had representation up to about 1929, and it was about 30 years before you had any more because they played all kind of dirty games. So that was a powerful thing for Benjamin Turner and the others who were in Congress to be there. And they couldn't have gotten there unless black folks got out and voted. Is that right, John?
That's right.
The only reason
that period of time. That's right.
I mean, that's a very powerful thing. Very powerful thing. Were you going to say something, Pastor?
No, I'm just really actually absorbing it, man. And I wanted to know a question that I need to ask. You know, and it's like, you know, what happened? What happened when they apparently had to see the authority and the power of the movement And apparently something had to take place to say we have to get rid of them or change.
Right.
You know, for the
right.
of the black. I mean, I don't know
right.
if that's the accurate say, but that's a question that I like to ask. Is that what happened?
Howard Zinn is an American historian. He referred to it as skullduggery, some of the low-down, dirty tactics that were used by other white congressmen to run black folk out of the United States Congress. Absolutely. And it led
okay.
to further apathy among black voters. The feeling was we wasn't going to get a fair shot.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to ask that question because it kind of dawned on me, you know, from hearing you all talk, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was an intention thing. What did they have against blacks is what I wanted to know. That's the question,
well, the
you know.
Fear
because I found I'm going to let you have it. The Bible
okay.
says that God said himself, God is no respecter of a person.
Right.
So why did the Bible get so angry at black people?
The fear was, that if these people knew who they were and that they had divine and universal rights in the world, that they could no longer be used, abused, and made to be think like slaves.
Okay.
That was the fear. Keep them in the dark and we can control them. But if they're enlightened, they're free. They're free indeed. Don, were you going to say something?
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly agree, Mr. Dockery. I had the chance to be with my father in Chicago when he was working with the, you know, the gang situation there. And those elder guys that was affiliated with it, I had the chance to be with some of those guys. And then one day me and my father was debating there on 75th and Phillips on the south side. And it was a young guy who was attached to the L. Rookins. But while he was attached to the L. Rookins, he was also attached to the Moorish Divine National Movement.
Ah.
And then that's when my eyes became open. And when you don't have a nationality, identity, thing is you're lost. You know what I'm saying? Especially as it deal with today, even with geopolitics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, then you don't have a measure to. Because I was asking a question this morning on the radio about how Mrs. Trump went to Saudi Arabia and didn't have on a scarf. Well, the day I was listening to a radio program and a European male described the sisters that wears veils in the Islamic country as wearing mops. So, you know what I'm saying?
It's a different...
When you study nationality and customs, you know, it makes you look at things different in the world.
Sure. Were you going to say something, Pastor, before we go to our next question?
No. Just still tuning in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so, again, for our listening audience, the number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call. If you want to chime in here, you want to ask a question, want to make a comment, we're very much open to hearing that. And you can also post your questions or comments on the Facebook page. You know, gentlemen, there are so many things that when you're blind to it, you don't even know what's lurking around you and the impending danger that's in front of you, you know. But when your eyes become open, somehow you just can't sit back and accept things in the old same old 6 and 10 routine. It don't work that way.
Uh-huh.
Now, having said that, a question that was asked, Reverend Bevel, who gives us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the United States and abroad? You know, the framers of the Constitution said that certain truths were held to be self-evident, that all men, didn't say black, white, green, purple, but all men were endowed with certain rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Pose that question to him, and you'll find his answer most interesting.
Government gives you life, and no political party gives you life, and no church denomination gives you life. It is God who gives you life, and for you not to know what God has said is to waste your time. And that's why we are weak, and that's why we are not strong, and that's why we are afraid of gangbangers, and that's why we have locks on our doors and dogs in our houses, and that's why we live in fear, because we do not know God's word, and we do not know how to apply it to every situation, because we do not study God's word.
Woo! What about that, Don?
That's true. That's what I've been saying to myself while I've been in Selma, is that we don't keep our face in God's face. And when I say that, we don't read Genesis 1:29. We don't read Genesis 2:15. We're right here in Dallas County with some of the most beautiful soil in the world, and everybody's scared about Mr. Trump cutting off the food stamps, and the soil's right in front of you. And God give you all intelligence to get all the organic seeds and organic fertilizers. And you know what I'm saying? You know, God gives you the ability to do everything, and you keep hollering, you know what I'm saying, Trump ain't God. You know what I'm saying? So Trump ain't God. Keep your face in God's face. Keep your face in God's face. He's going to bless you.
Wow.
That's
Pastor
what I
Wally?
See.
Pastor
yeah,
Wally,
man.
What about that, man?
Man, I mean, he's coming down the avenue, man, with, I would say, the continuation of the truth. And there are a lot of people that don't know God, and this is what they would do. They would call those people's name in that presidential seat and think that there's something that they're not qualified to do, if you may allow me to say. They're not even qualified to do what you and I can do in our own community. The Bible says, according to what I learned, I didn't know it at first myself. I was ignorant and I was unlearned. But I found out that the word did say that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The fullness.
So, and all the devil did it. So that means that I have a portion of it myself. It's just, it's right there before me. So why do I have to go and bow down to this person who's in that seat, when I know that that person in that seat don't care as much about me as they say they do? You know, now it's up to me to acknowledge that. And let me say this, if you will.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying it is because of what I got captured into, that let me know right there that if that poison that was in my community that I distribute, did all harm to people, and it wasn't intentional by me, that meant somebody planned to do that. You know? And so I had to deal with that, man. I had to deal with that for many years, man, of what I did to my community through the hands of the wicked. You know?
Wow.
And it didn't feel with me, and it still don't feel right with me. You know, because I see now that it has increased. You know, and I know that it had to be a plan to do something like that, man. You know, and you couldn't have done nothing like that without a plan to do harm, to destroy. It just gets to me when I think about it, man, because it had to do with what I did, you know.
Right.
And I didn't do it for no money. I didn't do it for no fame. I done it because I was tricked. You know, and it was intentional.
Right.
And I know it was intentional. You know.
Wow. Don, you want to come one time, man?
I'm going to say something. I'm from Middle Tennessee, and I don't know why God, you know, God is amazing in things that he do. And I have always wondered, you know, who my father is and my mother. I was born in Dixon County. I was born in Goodlock Hospital that was ran by the Jacksons. And it wasn't after till my father ran for Congress that I understood that those Jacksons that ran that hospital was a descendant of Andrew Jackson. So coming from Dixon County to Nashville, and the brothers that are born in Nashville, Springfield, in the inner part of the cities of those urban areas, I don't know if they ever have the dialogue to understand that those political powers that are there in Tennessee are really children of the people that own the plantations there in Tennessee and the descendants of them. And I think that type of dialogue needs to go on in the African urban area. We need to discuss that, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
And have a real dialogue about that.
My.
Because like
what
he said, I hear what he said when he said he was tricked. And when he said that, I'm going to say something to him. I had an experience with a cousin that saw some things on the Cumberland River. And I will concur with you. Yeah, you definitely was tricked. You know. So, you know what I'm saying? So, it's systematically set up. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, you know, and so.
Hey, y'all, hold that thought.
I'm not calling no names, but you know what I'm saying?
No, don't call no names.
And I'm humble enough to not even say that I'm blaming them. I just said I was tricked, you know, because
wow.
I was really wrong.
Right.
It was for 20 plus years of my life.
But guess what? You know, sometimes when we see a situation like that, brother, it's God waking us up to our divine side so we can go even higher.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right, brother. That's right. Because I've been delivered now for 25 years now from you. Know, so, well, you know, I thought we were going to never get out of it. But again, that's what God, he was able to do and restore me, get me back on the right road and go in there and explain to my people, you know, that I didn't do it intentionally. You know, I did.
And I was going to say something to you, brother. I've been in the same seats you've been in. Don't think I haven't. And every brother in Middle Tennessee, you know, just because who my father was don't mean I ain't been in the same road that y'all been.
Right.
I have.
Right.
So, you know, I'm no better. I'm just your brother in Christ. And I had to crawl out. You know what I'm saying? God had to bring me back. So I've been in the same seat.
Hold on, man. Y'all getting fired up. Y'all getting too. Let me get this last question in. Then I'm going to let y'all take us on in.
Right.
You brothers getting fired up here.
Doing it.
The last thing, gentlemen, that I posed to Rev. Bevel in that time, but it's applicable to today, is in 2017, this is almost 6 months in the year already. What does this period of time cause for us to do? What does this period of time cause for us to do? Listen to what he says.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up. Get up and clean up. There are those who are waiting for the good old days to come by. Back, the good old days will not come back. But a new order will be created. A new order is being created. As we wake up and clean up our communities, and a new spirit and a new vision will be brought to us. A new understanding. And somebody said, well, why are you going to do something like getting up, cleaning up a community? First of all, it's needed. First of all, it's your community. First of all, it's dirty and it's nasty and it needs your love and your care. And first of all, you are not going to learn anything about the nature of God until you start giving without asking for anything in return. And so I say to you, give to your community. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need no big budget. You don't need no great big super organization. All you need is you and a friend of yours, and ask for more friends to join you, to see an eyesore in your community, and to go and clean up that eyesore.
Wow. So, Don,
amazing.
I don't need a whole lot of money?
No, sir. All you need is yourself and the good Lord.
My goodness, man. Good God.
Did y'all hear what he said, Pastor Walker? He said, you and tell another friend, come on, let's go clean up our community.
Yeah, man. You know, I got that in my book, you know, where it says, go home and tell your friends what I've done for you. You know? Yeah, that's in the book, you know. And it's also in the book where I gave up all the money that I had to get to know the Lord. So, man, this is a very great dose of information that I really needed. And, you know, temptation wasn't able to get me back into what I came out of, you know, because it was a tough thing, you know, turning my way away from what I was used to. And, you know,
learning
to be content in whatever state I was in. So, yeah, money don't always make everything all right. I mean, that's what he's still reminding us about. You don't need all that to be to get the information out there. So that's great, man. I just thank God again, you know, for the reminder.
Don't done.
Mm-hmm.
Where we get this notion, where we get the notion that we can't be proactive about transforming our neighborhoods into better places if the government don't give us no money? Where we get that from?
Mr. Docker, I was thinking about, I was going back over who broke me from slavery, and I was thinking about my mama's daddy. You know, he would always say to me when I'll be in the bed with him as a little boy, and he would say, "Don, let's get up and go get the mule and go up under the hill." And you know what I'm saying? And I didn't know what he was doing, but he was breaking me from slavery at that point. You know, where you depend on nature to make your economics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, so you know, when I got with my dad, he refined, you know, like I said, the organic principle. But my slavery was broke up in me was by my mama's dad. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, he would say, "Come on, let's go to the field." And I it's still in me today. I gets up early, and you know what I'm saying? Because he put that principle. Hey, let's get up. Let's go to the field. Let's get the mules. Let's break the ground. You know what I'm saying? I saw him do that, and I saw the growth that came from that him doing that. You know what I'm saying? It was tobacco, which, you know, it wasn't vegetables or produce, but I saw him do that, and that's when I say, you know, it's nature. It's you and God and nature. You know what I'm saying? That will make your economics. You know, never get confused that man can do that. Trump can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's great, man. Great information.
No, I was just going to say that this dependency that comes with loyalty to a certain political philosophy or party causes many good people who can do tremendous work to sit down and do nothing for themselves. But this generation, gentlemen, this generation has watched for the last 40, 50 years. And they say, "I ain't going out like that. I'm going to just steal mine. I'm going to snatch and grab. I ain't going to even work for it. I'm going to snatch and grab. If I see Mr. Bevel with something, I'm going to bust him upside the head and take it. Walk up on him and snatch it." We have work to do to change this mentality. And that's really what this lecture series is all about, educating not only young but old folks to understand what our problem is. I like the way Dr. Bevel said it. Listen, don't nobody give you nothing but the Creator. And at the end of the day, if you are not willing to put the work in, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
Man. When you get hungry, the next thing is to get desperate to eat. When you get desperate, ain't no telling what you might do.
Yeah, man. Amazing. It is. It is. That's true.
Well, we got about 7 minutes. Don, you want to give us a wrapping thought here before we prepare to get on out of here?
I was going to say that Tennessee, Mr. Darkley, Uncle Ed called me and told me Miss Gilbert died. She was 101. She was out in Promised Land, Tennessee. You know, and they was doing like a historical thing with the Promised Land. They meet every year there in Promised Land. But she gave the history there in Middle Tennessee about the tobacco plantation in Springfield, one of the biggest ones. And only thing I can say to our brothers in Middle Tennessee, don't forget that we can get land, we can get our tractor and equipment, and we can maintain the land. And don't let nobody get us off that focus. And you know, that's our way to the promised land, to have our economics. Because there is a strategy and tactic to land from our people, because land is just as valuable as gold. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
As long as we get our land and keep our land, we can have an economic base. We can form banks, because banks are formed from land. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what we have to understand as brothers that I see today.
You know, Don, I was having a conversation with my son earlier today, and in the conversation I mentioned to him what Mayor Hampshire Rothschild, you know, the Rothschild family, some of the wealthiest people in the world, he made a statement in 1800s. He said, he was an economist, he says that essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't matter who makes the laws of a nation. If you give me control of their currency and their economy, I can control that nation. Which says that the most powerful thing we can do is to use our God gift and talent, our minds, to create a supply for something that is in demand and create an economic resource for ourselves. And then we can control our whole culture. What do you think about that?
I think there's a lot of truth into it, Miss. Yeah. A lot of truth in that. You know, I was looking at, according to what the scripture says, you know, in the book of Romans, chapter 7, I know it's in verse 14, you know, it's translated, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. All too human now are slaves to sin. In other words, I was sold under slavery. Could you imagine being, when you sold, that means you've been bought. You know, it's like if I belong, bought with a price. So if I'm up under slavery and they have purchased me to enslave my heart and my mind, then I have to do the slave master would tell me to do. So when I was on heroin, it told me what to do.
Right.
It told me when to do it. It told me how to do it. It even told me why I was doing it, because I was a slave to it. But once I got free, there is hope. And I heard the messenger tonight talking about being free, and the time of being free is now. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that's an unseen thing that's available for us, but we have to utilize our now faith. I just want to put that out there. That's when we need to emphasize it right now, as we speak.
Good point. Good point.
Yes.
Good point. Let me go to a brief commercial.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Congratulations to the lady that lived to be 101 years of age.
Let me go to a brief commercial break, and then I want to come back and pose a question to you, brother. I was mistaken when I said 7 minutes. We have about 32 minutes or so before this episode is over. But let me go to a brief commercial break, and we'll be right back on the other side of this.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
The people.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944, and we will love to entertain your questions or comments and share in this dialogue. We're talking tonight from the topic, the Civil Rights Movement, a conversation with one of its beloved sons and the person of the late Reverend Dr. James Luther Bevel, Sr. We are honored to have with us tonight his son, his eldest son, Don Bevel L., who is sharing with us tonight, as well as our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. And we've been having some pretty good conversations, but I got a question for both of these brothers. And I bet you, I'm going to see if they can see what they can do to help me out. Gentlemen, you heard the OJs say, you got to give the people what they want. Here's my question. What they want?
Good question.
Yeah.
Good
Don,
question.
Help me out with this. Don, help me out.
Hello?
You there, Brother Bevel?
Hello? Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Brother Bevel,
yes, sir.
There?
Yes, sir.
Did
yes, sir.
Question?
If I fade out, my phone battery might be going down. But
okay.
When you say what the people want?
Yeah, what they want.
Mr. Dockery, it's hard to say. You know what I'm saying? This next generation.
Hold on. I don't mean to be rude, but you mean to tell me, you and Pastor Waller don't tell me, after all we done been through, all the things we cried for, people died for, and fought for, in 2017, we don't know what we want? Somebody explain that to me like I'm 3 years old.
Yeah, he said it in a very unique way. You know, in this generation and society as a whole, with them not hearing this type of song or these words, it would be hard for them to even acknowledge that they even should want something that's of value, you know. And so I got that. But me listening to the song while I was yet without strength, I used to listen to the old days because I got them tapped into my book as well. That question people want, you know, it's got better education, you know, better food to eat, you know.
Okay.
Said, you know, people need money. Not what they want, but these internet say people need money. That's a difference. And then it says people need freedom. And you got to give it to them, you know. And that's one thing that you got to, you know. And that part right there, see, when you got freedom,
what?
I get excited when I think about that, man, because when you're in bondage and you're captured into captivity, man, that's a miserable life. And
that's
then struggle freedom. So I would say that as the song continued, they started to step. They was grooving then. They were using some stepping during the time after they said that people need freedom, and then you're gonna give it up. And that right there, I mean, is something that how can you strip us from being free? So you know, hey man, that's amazing, man. That's a strong question that you asked.
Let me throw this at you, Don. If I tell you I need help, and then you ask me, say, "Well, doctor, what you need me to help you with?" And I say to you, "I don't know. Where do we start?" The dog gonna answer for us, ain't it?
Mr. Dockery, yes, sir.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
You know, when you ask a question like that and you're in a situation with an individual and you say, where do you start? You know, that's kind of, you know, I guess you start with the Lord. That's what I would start with an individual. Talking about how good God is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wait now. I told you I need help now. I told you I need help, and you asked me, well, what you need me to do? And I say, well, I don't know. That's a tough spot to be in, ain't it?
There you go. Well, That's what Brother Don said from the beginning when you first asked that question. That's why I came in and kissed you when you brought that up again. I like that, Brother Doctor, because that's what it is. It's a I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. That would be the first step. I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. How can they say that? I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. Because in the street, in the world's way, they're learning things.
I see.
And what they're learning, they have no knowledge about that. What they're learning is against them, you see. And so the woman said, if God is for me, who can be against me? What about when you don't do that? And that's where it is. My brother Don said, hey, man, I mean, that's making it plain. But do you step out and offer them, or as you said, to wake them up? You know, now it's moving to wake out of sleep. What do we do to wake them up? That means we have to take it to the street. You know, we just put it out there because the only way is if the person don't have it and they need it, and then you have it and you don't present it to them, I think that's a disgrace on you because you have it to offer. You see?
Right.
And so why would you say go out into the world and preach the gospel if you didn't have it? Now, if you don't have it, you can't take it out there. But if you you got it and you're not taking it out there, I mean, you know, that's not good.
I'd like to offer a thought to you, gentlemen. An individual finds themselves in a predicament where they cannot answer the question, what can I do to help you? You open yourself up for someone who desires to use you to take advantage of you. So what happens is some folk come like wolves in sheep clothing and they say, I'm here to help you. They don't really know. They're not really interested in what your needs are. What they're most interested in is how can I get close enough to you to get what I want from you. Are you walking if I am in a position where I don't know what I need and I don't know how anyone can help me, I leave myself easily available for exploitation. And I think that's what has happened politically, socially, and economically over the last 40, 50 years. People who are oblivious to reality and the truth about who they are and what their purpose is are left as prey to the vultures of the air.
The Dark, I'm glad you brought that up. Excuse me just interrupting you. My phone is very slow, but I'm going to say this to the listening audience. When my dad and Dr. King and them was here in Selma, they did the Right to Vote movement. They worked on voter registration and voter education. There was no political organization or educational process, you know, at that time, you know, that I know of. I learned that when my father ran for Congress, you know, he wrote to Mr. Reagan, President Reagan, and he mentioned voter registration, voter education, political organization, and political education. And what I know is those leaders that are in the process today, they don't educate the grassroots people in their precinct about political organization or education. So the people in the precinct are very ignorant, you know, to what the process is because nobody went to the grassroots and educated them to that process. Only thing they know is voter registration, voter education. You know what I'm saying? They don't know nothing about political organization or education.
What do you think about that, Pastor Waller?
I think it's accurate. I think I'd be the first to say, you know, that's accurate, man. I'm guilty. I tell you, man. You know, being ignorant and unlearned, brother, there's a lot of that going on. You see?
Right.
And as I said, it's not because it's intentional by the person who don't know. You see, but when they put a lot of things out in the world before you, man, and you start to gravitate to it, you're not really having a chance to think about, you know, voting and all those rights that you do have that could possibly make a difference. You know, so it's like this. You say something about, you know, something about a situation that you don't know, and how do you get started on getting to know and then come out of community. Listen. We need to come and share something with you that will lure you away from what you could get to know. Watch this. Listen to this part. There's an enemy that lies in wait to deceive. And see, that's the part. Someone to tell you, well, you won't stand for something, you just fall for anything. And that's just to get close to you as you see it. And so could you imagine that the Word of God says that one walk in craftiness, they are handling the Word of God, lying in wait to deceive. That means that they're waiting on someone to deceive. Itching ears, things like that. It means they can tell you anything. Go forward, man. So, you can meet. It happens. It really actually happened. And it's happened to plenty of people today. But there is a solution. But there is a solution, and there is hope. And we've been hearing it tonight.
And that's
about now.
Right.
But again,
Pastor, that's the most. I was adding to what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. And that's the most important thing, that we take advantage of the information and opportunities to bring about change for ourselves. Don, I noticed you had a little dog there bothering you. Are you there with us now?
Oh, yeah, he was in the background because I'm over in the neighborhood. I'm over in the 6th Ward here in Selma. And the 6th Ward, back in the day from 1890 to 1915, had a bank called Alabama Pennies and Savings. And a strange thing, it failed in 1915, about the same time the Federal Reserve came into being. So here in Alabama. And that bank and the areas it in, you know, the area that it was in, it's economically depressed. So I'm over in the neighborhood, you know, I'm communicating with young folk and with individuals and loving on them and receiving information from them, you know what I'm saying, and learning from them. You know what I'm saying? Especially here in Selma, man, I done learned a lot. Really, I'm going to say this to the listening audience. When Jim Clark left, he really ain't gone.
Who is that now?
When Jim Clark, when they were fighting for the right to vote, Jim Clark ain't gone, you know. Jim Clark is still here, but it's in a different form. It's called, like he was said, you know, the drug war is, to me, a race war. So, That process is still, you know, still in effect. And it goes back to, again, like I said, we don't know the political, organization, or educational process.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, sir, and this is something that I've been emphasizing. There may have been a time, gentlemen, when someone else physically held, particularly minorities, people of Negro, African-American descent, back. That's not today. There are more opportunities to do for yourself, to be free, and I don't just mean in words, but in action, and to compete with other ethnicities than ever before. But many of our young people choose, it seems, to stay stagnant and to be locked up in some mindset that says, I'm going to wait on somebody else to do it for me. I ain't got to do it. Now, help me understand that like I'm for you. Anybody. Somebody.
Go ahead, Brother Doc.
Well, you know, we got a generation that came. Just think about it. After the 60s and the hard fought, even after Dr. King was assassinated, they basically let us, you know, participate and work in the economic process to the fullest, and we went in there getting them resources, but I don't think we understood what to do with the resources once we got in. I look back, you know, after the 60s, you know, I worked in several factories and made good money. But at that time, I didn't understand who I was. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people after the 60s, we jumped in that process, but we really didn't know who we were. What should we do with the money? Or, you know what I'm saying? We weren't really educated to the economic process. You know what I'm saying?
Well, now,
like today,
Don,
Don,
a good example of what you're talking about, I was doing a workshop in Pontiac, Michigan a few years ago. A lot of good people down there. And, you know, Detroit and that whole area, most of the people, they left high school, gentlemen, to go work for the factories, Ford and those companies, right? And in 2008, when things tanked and folded, the auto industry, a lot of those people left, were forced either retired or left those jobs because they were laid off. They didn't have any further education. All they knew was working in the factory. Yes, they were making $60,000, $70,000 a year. But guess what? when the company folded, the opportunities folded. They found themselves 50, 60 years old and older without any other skills or resources. Many of them lost their homes, and the city started to fold, basically, economically. It speaks to, as a case study, why it's so important for you not to just be satisfied. I'm not saying you don't work for anyone else. We all have done that to get where we need to be. But at some point, the question becomes, when do you control your own economics and own your own? Is that an unreasonable question, Pastor Wise?
No, I think that's right. It's right on the target, man. I mean, this is what we've been talking about all night, and I think it is appropriate for us to recognize that I said it earlier from hearing what I've heard thus far. When the Word of God says that God is the respecter of persons, I mean, that gives us all right. When he said, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us to rejoice and in it. Okay, so this is the day. So we shouldn't have to go outside of what it is that we deserve inside the will of God. But when we don't know the will of God, it's up to us who know the will of God to take it to those who don't know, which is called the lost.
Okay.
And I always give this man his props, in whom came out of the church to say something to me. He came out of the church. I don't know if God spoke to him to tell him to come to me or however. I'm on the street corner corrupting my community, and here come a man coming to me to say something to me encouraging, just an encouraging word, and extending the invitation to come to church. You know, I didn't go that next week, that next month, that next year. But years went by, man, and finally it dawned on me after I was in desperation. The pain had gotten so severe that I stepped out and went up to that church, man, just as I was. And the end result is what I'm saying is life changed. But
okay.
He didn't wait for me to come to the church. He took it to the street, man, and that's what he did. So I can't help but to say that I saw it in the Word after that. I mean, it's in the Word. Go out into the world.
Yeah.
It's in there. You know, so I think it'd make it a lot better, man, for those people out there that's caught up. I think they're crying for help. They're crying
sure.
real loud. Yeah, they're
sure.
the crying loud. You know, and
right.
it's clear. You know,
right,
so
right.
It's so
right.
good.
Well, you know, as I have gotten around to a few cities already, I've been able to compare and contrast what has happened in Nashville and some of these other places. We're targeting now 11 cities to take advantage of. And interestingly enough, when we look at the social economic conditions, we find that all of them face the same source of problems, you know. And the very people that can change things, that can make them better, are the ones who are sitting back looking and waiting on somebody else to move. So what you're saying is, and it's very important, Pastor, that somebody has to leave outside of the church. I like what Reverend Bevel said. He said some people are waiting on the good old days to come back.
Yeah,
come.
Man. That's
that
right.
time is over. And they
yes,
wait
sir.
To die to go to heaven for things to get better. Can I tell
My
you something?
Goodness.
That Listen. Dog will not hunt.
Yeah, he let it be known that it couldn't. That it's not going to hurt. He said to do something now. That's what he said.
Talk on your phone a little bit more, Pastor.
Yeah, I said that's what he said. He brought it to the table just as a reminder, man. He said that. You know, to bring back the good old the Gordon was known. And that's awesome, man.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Don.
Huh?
I was going to tell Don, that's interesting that there is a certain generation of a certain age who are happy to reflect on what they did back in the day. And the babies are saying, that don't mean nothing to me. And interestingly enough, because they fail to teach them the lessons of what they learned from those experiences, the babies say, that don't mean nothing to me. Man, that was yesterday. I don't care nothing about that. Is that unfair for them to say that, Don?
Oh, Mr. Docker, that's when I was saying that, you know, it's like the generation that came up right after Dr. King died and that Jesse Jackson generation. What I noticed about that generation, my grandfather's generation showed me what to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesse Jackson generation, it's like we talk about what we needs to be done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, the generation before, that generation showed you what to do. You know what I'm saying? And that mechanism I see is lost today, even in our educational process. You know what I'm saying? The young men is not here in Selma, Dallas County. Nobody taking them out to show them how to build a house.
Wow.
We got three predominant African-American high schools. Nobody's showing them. So you wonder why we get the results. What we get, we're not doing to show the young folk. You know what I'm saying? It's not he who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does.
Right.
Yes. That goes back to is it intentional? It goes back to that.
Intentional? Wow.
That could be so too, what you're saying. There's a mechanism set up for that too. You're correct. False religion is rampant today.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're
correct.
My goodness. I tell you, what a dose of information tonight, man.
Can I ask y'all a question? We got about 7 minutes here. Can I ask y'all a question before we leave? What is the most a sleeper will ever accomplish? Someone who sleeps, what is the most they will acquire or accomplish?
Okay, what I used to hear, I guess I used to hear that in the street. Don't come to sleeping with a dream.
What'd you say, Pastor?
Yeah, I think that's how they quoted that. Nothing come to sleep with a dream. I said, man, that's amazing.
Come on, man.
I heard that years ago.
So you mean they chopped it up like that on the street? Ain't nothing gonna come to a sleep but a dream.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they put it down. At least they put it out there, you know. You know, it wasn't the word of God. We still put it out there, you know.
But that's
some truth.
Is that not truthful?
And we adopt that. We adopt it out there, man. And that's why I say out of sight, out of mind, things like that.
Right.
But inside the word of God, you know, it's a little different.
Well, watch this, though, Don. Yeah. Watch this. That dream has turned into a natural nightmare. Pastor, they ain't even getting dreams no more. The Bible says old men should dream dreams, old men should see vision, young men should dream dreams, right? They ain't even getting they having a nightmare now. They living a nightmare.
Man, and I think it's a sad thing, man. I think that's the sad part about it. You know, you go into the, you know, the church house, and I think this Bible, you know, that, again, when I walked into the church house, I did not come with the Bible. That's number one. You know, but
right.
It said faith comes by. So I did hear a word, and it changed my life. And then later on, I seen something. I said, this is, the word of God is saying this. I said, man, this is amazing. I said, I wonder why a lot of people coming out of church into the streets. I said, I wonder why they never see that while I was out there. And then how did it say that the harvest soon is plentiful, but the laborers are few? And I know that.
Wow.
I've seen that. The laborers are few.
Wow.
But not.
Right.
And then messenger tonight, you say you don't need a whole lot of people.
You don't need a whole lot of folks.
No, not if you don't. If you don't have nothing to offer, you know, just go for what you know. Yeah.
We're coming down. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say we're coming down to our last 4 minutes here. Don?
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for joining us tonight, sir, and offering your contribution to our conversation. Give us about a minute wrap up here, and then we'll hear from Pastor Wall, and then we'll give our last announcement. We'll get on out of here for tonight.
You want me to comment for the last minute?
Yeah, just give us about a minute or a last thought you want to share with us before we part. We're about to close that show out in a few minutes.
I think that where our community need to work today, we need to work more collectively and have more, like I said, precinct family orientated conversations. I think that's where we need to go and develop our community more locally. You know what I'm saying? One-on-one conversations.
Okay. We definitely need that.
That's what I see.
All right, Pastor?
That's exactly what I see.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor, you have anything you want to let us come in before we get out of here?
Yeah, first I want to thank Brother Don, man, for sharing so much great information, so much knowledge and wisdom that I was able to add to my faith as a result of that. And what I like to leave with the viewing audience, man, is to remind them that there is hope. And I would share this, man, and I mean this from my heart. There's a scripture that changed my direction, and it's in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 37. And it says, "For God, nothing shall be impossible." So, dealing with in our life is not impossible for the
realm. My Lord.
God, and I have a book that I wrote. It's entitled Steer High. It's not impossible for God to turn us around and give us a high that lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All you need to do is just take one hit. The Word of God says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And one day I got a taste. It lasted for 25 years off of one hit. I never had a hit before last that long. So I just want them to know that there is. Just keep the faith. Everything's going to work itself out.
All right. All right. Man. Brother, man, I can't say thank you all enough for your time and your contribution. And let me just say www.bfcinstitute.com. If you go there and you click on the contact us link, and go to the back store, you'll find this book that Pastor Wallace is talking about, a powerful book. Don, my son, and I both read it, and we were both thoroughly enjoyed it. Still High, right there, once you make a contribution. This brother's heart is right there. He is making a contribution to our cause to help us keep this message alive, and when he can, he promised to travel with us. So thank you, Pastor Wallace. Don, thank you for being with us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank our listening audience and those of you on Facebook that have checked in with us. Leave your questions and comments. We're going to leave the night with, we're going to keep on pushing. Don, that's what I'm going to do. I ain't going to let nothing stop me. I'm going to keep on pushing.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And we'll see you listening audience on this coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m.
Maybe someday.